bitterly, often as I breathe, let my whole life be expressions of your grace. Lord, I pray daily as I live, and often as I breathe, let my whole life be expressions of your grace. Daily, say daily as I live, from your heart say, and often as I breathe, let my whole life be expressions of your grace. Say it again, say daily, daily as I live, often as I breathe, I pray, let my whole life be expressions of your grace. So we cry, Abba Father, hallowed be your name, hallowed be your name, hallowed be. Hallowed be your name, hallowed be your name,
hallowed be your name.
Father, we exalt you tonight. Hallowed be your name. Be magnified, be exalted in our praise. Thank you for your glory in this house tonight. Thank you for your glory permeating even through the media sources to every home, every room, every car, every office, now and even later, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your tangible presence in this place. Thank you for your mighty hand upon me to speak as your mouthpiece. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before I get into the God's word fully tonight, I actually have my own testimony. And, you know, by the time I traveled, I had already fixed the date. I think that was 1st of April, which was a Friday. And then somewhere along the line, I just said, you know, change that to Monday. Let me stay on for service, you know. And I changed it again. I said, change it to Tuesday, you know. And again, I thought, oh, I had a meeting. I was expecting some people from outside the country at the office. I thought, okay, let me wait and see them. But it occurred to me also that if I waited till Tuesday morning, I still won't see them, because they will arrive on Monday, you know. So by the time they come on Tuesday, I won't go to the office at all, so I won't see them. So I was thinking to myself, okay, why are you pushing it forward? You know, what's the point? Because it won't work. You're not going to get to see them. But I kept, you know, thinking, yeah, but just put it for Tuesday morning. Just put it for Tuesday morning. So I just told them, just leave it there Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning it is. That's when I'll go. I'm not going, you know, on the 1st. I'm not going on Monday. Make it Tuesday morning. And then on Monday, you know, on Monday I went to the office, and when I got back, as I was climbing the stairs, I saw drops of water on the staircase. So I stopped there, I looked at it a bit. I said, water on the staircase. What's water doing on this staircase? You know, and I said, I didn't carry any water. If anything would have dropped, maybe coffee, because that I can carry up and down. I said, but even that, nothing. This is not coffee, this is water. You know, I said, how did water get on this staircase? I said, something is going on here. You know, then later I got upstairs. I think I was trying to pick out a cloth. I wanted to iron something. I felt the clothes were wet. There was a towel that was wet. I said, wet towel. Bring any clothes in that was wet ever. I said, and then the clothes that are here have been here for, you know, days. How come it's wet? You know, then I looked around, I looked up. I said, this roof is leaking. You know, so I sat again in my study. I was, you know, doing some work and all of that. Then I sent a message to the facility manager. I said, get somebody to look at this roof tomorrow morning. It is leaking. Something is wrong. You know, and then I was up, you know, past 11, which you go to bed around then. I was up past 11. I was walking. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing water pouring into the house. So I ran out of the study, and I saw the thing was actually pouring. I have a video of it. It was pouring into the house. I carried buckets, you know, and threw all over the place. Then I ran outside. I realized they were pumping water, you know. So I ran outside. I went to the guard. I said, please switch off. You know, if I went to switch it off myself, you know, and all that. And, you know, I'm just cutting it a little short. I asked the guy, I said, please climb up and go and look at that roof. So then he climbed up, and the roof was, he said it was like a swimming pool. And something that blocked the drain where any water, whether it is rain, whether it is an overflow from a tank, should pass through. Something had blocked it. And so it was overflowing through something and getting into the house and all of that. You know, but basically, to cut the long story short, I had to replay it in my head. And I thought to myself, I realized that all this, move it forward, don't travel yet, move it forward, move it forward, move it forward, was so that I could see. Because if I had actually gone, there was nobody in the house, nobody would see. Maybe until the day where the whole house is flooded completely and there's water pouring out of the front door. That's when they will wonder and say, what is going on here? There's a leak somewhere. So God just kept me and kept saying, postpone it, make it that day, so that if I had gone a day earlier, I would not have seen it. And so I thank God for the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 15, if you will. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And I'm glad this is the School of Miracles. I'm glad that you made it here tonight. Those of you that are here particularly, and those who are tuning in also, I welcome you for making the effort. But I tell you what, much more than ever, we need to make that effort to get God's word. Don't take it for granted. It's going to become more difficult, actually. You know, it's going to become more difficult. There'll be more obstacles in your way. I was talking about Pharaoh being alive the other day, talking about the world system. There are going to be more reasons not to. There'll be more excuses not to. There'll be more legitimate reasons not to. You know, so when I say legitimate, I always talk about Mary and Martha. You know, so when Martha said, you know, Jesus came in with an entourage, Martha began to go and cook and get food and all of that ready for the visitors, and Mary sat there and was listening to God's word. And then Martha came back and she was upset and said, look, Master, won't you tell my sister to come and help me in the kitchen? And then Jesus said, Martha, you are worried about many things. One says you are bothered about many things. Another one says you are distracted with many things. He said, however, only one thing. Can I hear you say one thing? He said, only one thing is needful, and that is what Mary has chosen. What that tells me all the times, never stop speaking to me, is that everything we think is important is not as important as God's word. Are you there? Everything we think is important. So every reason you will give, oh, I have to do this, oh, I have to do that, oh, I have to study for exam, oh, I have to You know, like I was chatting with the teenagers today, and I was telling them, no. They said, no, it's exam, it's this, that. I said, so you pick that over praying to God. You know, nothing at all that we do is more important. And listen, why I talked about it being legitimate reasons is that matter's reason was not an excuse in that sense. Abi? I mean, think about it. It's not an excuse in that sense. Isn't it right that if any visitor comes to your house, would you not try to, you know, be a good host? You won't be like I am sometimes, isn't it? The visitor comes and they just sit there, you just start chatting. Ah, so good to see you, blah, blah, blah. I don't even offer them water. I mean, not to talk of drink or food, you know, but then you will get visitors. I think most of you are nice people. So when you get a visitor, you want to be nice, you know, and that's expected of you. Now, how much more when the visitor is Jesus Christ of Nazareth? You want to be the nicest person possible. You want to do the best possible. So what she was doing in that sense, I'm trying to say, don't look down upon it. However, Jesus was saying, as good as that is not as important as this. Are you there? You know, that's also one of the reasons when we started church years ago, we'll have events. And on Sunday morning, we'll have, you know, an event, I don't know, like Easter or something, and there's food and all that. And then the ladies will work hard trying to cook or make sandwiches. I think we've had sandwiches also before. And they're trying to prepare the sandwiches, trying to prepare the food for the service that morning. And I just said, no, we need to stop this. Because they spend all the time doing that they miss the service. In order to get us food to eat that morning, I said, No, that doesn't work. We'll rather pay and contract it out so that they can be in service. In fact, there was once we had a guy who used to do grills. And he even did it in church. So he was grilling at the back there. And the smoke was coming in. And the smell. But he was missing the service. Are you getting what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, that is important. Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy 32 verse 46. Moses was speaking to the children of Israel. He says, set your heart on this word. Set your heart on this word. You know, set your heart on this word that I'm talking to you about and command your children to do the same. He says, set your heart on all the words of this law. Verse 47, he said, because it is not a futile thing, because it is your life. Futile means it's not a waste of your time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's saying it's not a waste of your time. It is not a futile thing. It is your life. While I was away, I had to contact Pastor NY because at the point, I was talking to a friend of mine who was in a critical condition, you know, health-wise. And I had to, you know, speak in, encouraging and all of that, but in another country. And I had to contact Pastor NY because I knew I did a series years ago that I titled The Picture of Health. I don't know how many people remember that, but I titled it The Picture of Health. A 9-tape series, you know, and I said, actually somebody else got a miracle listening to that message. So I was discussing with that, and I was trying to figure out how best to get God's word to her. What can I do? You know, where can I send her to? What messages do I know contain what she needs to hear that can help her get out of this health situation? I'm talking about the fact that you are here. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the purpose of the School of Miracles that we do once a month. You know, so you look at it, you say, they're just a handful of people. I'm clapping for the handful of people. And I'm saying to you that it is not a futile thing. It is your life. Are you with me? It is not a futile thing. It is your life. Because you prepare for war in the time of peace. You have to get the word inside of you now. So the reason why, by the leading of the Holy Ghost, we started this, how many years? I'm not very good at keeping all of those dates, but some years ago, I don't know how many years ago, we started School of Miracles, maybe 3 years now or 4 years, you know. It's more than that. Okay, whatever it is. But the reason why we did it is because at some point in time, you are going to need faith for miracles. At some point in time of your life, no matter who you are. And at that point in time, you better have it inside of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we are doing this so that we ensure that at least once every month, at the start of the month, we will talk, no matter what we want to talk about throughout the month that God leads us to talk about, but at least once at the beginning of the month, we will redirect and feed our faith for miracles, for healings, and for deliverances. We will feed our faith so that we are always full and ready. Are you there? So I searched. I went online, I searched for messages, looking for messages I could direct my friend to and say, look, go and download these messages. And I looked on our website, I was looking for the picture of health, I didn't find them there. I called Pastor NY, please get me these messages. He sent them to me, I forwarded them to her, I called her after some days, have you found this thing? Have you seen what I sent to you? Download them and begin to listen. In fact, at some point previously, she would discuss medical issues like many people would discuss medical issues with me. Because of my background. And she was discussing the medical issues with me. And she could tell from my conversation that I wasn't interested because she had told me what the diagnosis was. I wasn't interested. So she made the comment herself. She said, you are not interested in what I'm telling you. I said, no, I'm not. I said, because you need God. What you need now is the mighty hand of God. Not anything that they're telling you, not any drug you are on. I said, what you need is God to step into that situation. So by the time I sent the thing and I called, and we spoke, she was telling me, oh, I'm so weak. She said, I saw it, but I'm so weak. I can't even get to download it. I can't even get to play the thing and listen to it. My heart was shattered. And I was thinking to myself, you need to get these things now. Almost like when Ecclesiastes was talking about seek the Lord in the days of your youth before the evil days come. You understand? You prepare for war in the time of peace. Get it inside of you now. So someone said, I've heard it before. No, my friend, you don't survive on saying that I've eaten bread before. I've eaten rice before. You have to eat bread again. You have to eat rice again. You have to eat moimoi again. Can I have an amen? Jesus compared God's word to food. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So this is like food. You must keep taking it in. You must keep hearing it. Faith comes by hearing, which is present continuous. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17. By hearing and hearing the word of God. And like somebody said, faith goes by having heard. When you say, I've heard it before, you are beginning to lose faith. Are you there? Listen, the way I still listen to all of these things myself and I read books on them myself is as if I've never heard it before. Are you with me? I remember also even me when I younger, there was a time I was sick. I'm just talking about the fact that there are times, I'm coming to Matthew chapter 15, which is my text tonight, but I just drop a simple message with you. There was a time I was sick. I was believing God for my healing, but I was so weak. Have you ever been so sick you are very weak? You know, I think Kenneth Egan talked about when he was bedridden as a teenager. And he said, you know, one of the interesting things he said was that's when he got saved. He got saved on that bed, on that sick bed. And he said he got saved what? Reading his Baptist grandmother's Methodist Bible. And he said he began to look in God's word. And he said sometimes to flip one page of the Bible could take him hours because of how weak he was. To flip one page. So you are reading it just to be able to turn the page. He said he was so weak that could take him hours. He has to just rest and rest 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours and rest and rest and rest and psych himself enough to be able to flip another page. So there are days that you may not find it as easy as you have it now. What I'm saying is this, maximize the time now. I remember I was so sick then and I was on the bed. I couldn't do anything. And in those days, there were no mobile phones. You know, I didn't even own a Walkman. You know, I don't know how many people know Walkman. I mean, the teenagers have no clue what I'm talking about. You know, but in those days, if you had a Walkman, you have arrived. And then if you have one that you can hang, you hang it by your belt. Yeah, you're a big boy if you have one. You know, you put it there like this, then you put that tape inside. And you play it, and then the batteries run out so fast. The batteries are one of the devices of the devil that the devil uses, you know, to stop us from enjoying the Walkman in those days. Because by the time you play one side of the tape only, Many times your battery has stopped. And then you have to wait. Sometimes you go and put the battery in the sun. Because you can't afford to buy another. So that I don't know how it works. Maybe you know, I don't know the physics or anything anymore, but it charge it against more. Then you put it back, you flip the tape, you can continue to listen to what you are listening to. You know, and the Walkman is big. Now, what the Walkman can do, your tiny phone, we beat it 1,000 times. So there was no such thing, no such advantages. And I lay on the bed, I was so weak. I was just there. All I could do was think about the scriptures I had read. Think about the things I had heard. Mutter some of those scriptures out. Declare the word of God that I knew. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I didn't have the energy to stand up and begin to pray. Like you say, skabash. I had no energy for such thing. Not even the energy to sit up and carry a Bible and be reading. But it's what was inside me. It says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmities. If he's strong on the inside already, that will sustain everything that will come against him. But if that spirit is dejected, that spirit is weak, that spirit is wounded, then there's nothing that man can bear. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing that man can bear. You must pay attention to the health of your spirit. Somebody said many of us will eat 3 square meals a day, but we feed our spirit 1 cold snack a week. And then we wonder why we are weak spiritually. Hallelujah. Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. So it's our school of miracles. I'm just going to read us a story tonight. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." Sure, there are different expressions you'll find in different Bibles. But he answered, not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Well, so this was a woman who came, as we read, approached Jesus and says, "Help me. My daughter isn't just demon-possessed, tormented, but it's severe. It's a serious problem, severe trouble." And you know that there are many conditions, because don't put this in a box. Okay, don't put this in a box and think that this is just about demon possession. It's not about sickness and health. You know that there are diseases behind sickness too. I'm not saying every disease has a demon behind it, but there are demons behind sickness sometimes. Are you there? There was once a dumb man, deaf and dumb. They brought to Jesus. The Bible says he cast out the spirit and the dumb could hear and could speak. There was a spirit. Luke chapter 13, there was a woman who was bent over. Bent over. She could in no wise stand. I think 18 years, the Bible says it was. Or is it 13 years? And then Jesus says, "Ought not this woman whom Satan has bound be set free?" Jesus was saying, Satan is behind it. Sir, the late Sir Alexander Dowie said, "Sickness is the foul offspring of his father the devil and his mother sin." Sickness is the foul offspring of his father the devil and his mother sin. So it's an outflow of what I'm trying to say to you is simple. Is that whatever it was, we want to term it as a demon possession, you want to term it as sickness, this applies to all. Are you hearing what I'm saying? This applies to every single thing. The devil is behind everything that is wrong in the world. Full stop. Directly or indirectly. Can I have an amen? So this woman comes to Jesus. And she says, you know, my daughter is severely tormented. The daughter was not there. She pleads with him. He gives the faith command. No, he didn't do that immediately, did he? He refused. And then he said to her that I cannot give the children's bread to dogs. You know, sometimes people get too easily offended, even in church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? People get too easily offended even in church. And many times that offense stops them from getting their miracles. You know, it's very easy. You come to Pastor NY. Pastor NY, please pray for me. I have this interview. Say, no. It's not for the children's bread can be given to dogs. Hey, me. Hey, me, dog. I'm even older than you, Seth. And you're talking to me anyhow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Very often we get offended too easily, forgetting about what we want from God. And that offense gets in the way. But that's a side comment. Are you with me? It says, I can't give what belongs to the children to dogs. And the woman answered back. And she says, but the dogs can have the crumbs. First thought I want you to get tonight is look at what the crumbs can do. Are you with me, anybody? Please say with me, see what crumbs can do. So if Jesus says, look, the loaf of bread, I can't give it to the dogs. And the woman says, that's fine by me. I'm not looking for the loaf of bread. Just let me have the crumbs that don't belong to me. Because basically was saying, you are not a child of God. You don't belong in the house of God. You are not an Israelite as at that time. Those were the children of God. That's what he was saying to her. And the woman says, yeah, I may not have a covenant with God. I may not be an Israelite, but I can have the crumbs. But I'm saying to you tonight, see what the crumbs could do. The child was severely tormented, let's call it severely diseased, and was not even present. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Was not even there. She was wherever she was. We don't know how long she had the problem. We don't know where she was, but she was in a terrible state, and she was not even present, and yet the crumbs were enough to set her free. Are you with me? You know, sometimes when you look at some of these things, that's why we talk about meditating on God's word. Okay, the idea of meditation is that you process it, think about it, and try to see the application of what you are reading to your life. This person has no relationship with God, as it were, has no covenant with God. And yet she says, you know what, I know that I'm not entitled to the inheritance. All the things that belong to the children of God, but I can take the little crumbs that drop by the way. And that those little drops meant that a child who was severely diseased could be healed, who was not even in the place. There's no distance in the realm of the spirit, you know that. So sometimes believers then, so the question to begin to ask yourself is that every time you see God do a miracle, because God does miracles for people who are not saved. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you still here tonight? But every time you see him do a miracle, it's a message to you that that's just crumbs. If that person can get the crumbs, I have the right to the loaf. Are you with me? If the crumbs could do that for him, if the crumbs could do that for her, then I, with bread knife. Are you with me? But you know sometimes when it's good agege bread, you don't want bread knife. You know what I'm talking about? You yank it. You know, when I was growing up, and we'll go to the bakery in the area where we were, and you go and get the bread. It's from the door of the bakery.
It doesn't get home. It's from the door of the bakery that you are yanking the thing open. Because the warmth that is coming from the bread and the smell, the freshness of the bread is unbelievable. There's no greater temptation. If you can watch that bread and preserve it whole, you're a very disciplined person. You know, but that bread must go. And if there was butter around the corner of my dream, you drop it inside and it is melting like this. You see, you can hear sounds. Some people might even eat bread tonight, you know. Are you there? See what the crumbs could do. Years ago, I was in the university. And my neighbor, you know, lived in a boys' quarter complex. My neighbor had his girlfriend who was unsaved, who would come around, sometimes spend, you know, the night and all of that there. And I was living next door. And then this day, we talked, we were friendly, you know, because you have to be nice. Christians ought to be nice people, amen. Not even frowning, looking at people and saying, sinners, they're going to hell. So I was nice to him, you know, we're friends. In that sense, we're friendly, not friends. They say, don't use the word friends anyhow. We're friendly. And then one day I was coming back, you know, from my classes, and I met him on the road. And, I greeted him, and he was like, oh, he's going to town. He's going to the gates, going to the pharmacy to get drugs. You know, and I asked why. I said, oh, his girlfriend is not feeling well. She's in the room. So I got in, went to my room. I was in there until maybe an hour or two later. He came and he knocked my door. You know, I opened the door, talked to him, and I said, what's the problem? I could hear the girl crying next door. And I said, what's the problem? He said, my girlfriend is not feeling well at all. I said, what's the problem? He said, she has terrible menstrual pains. And that when she does for the days, she can't do anything. She can't go anywhere. The pain is crippling and all of that. So I looked at him and I thought, I was a medical student. So I was wondering, he's going to buy drugs. Is he wanting advice again about what else he could use or whatever? You know, and I said, so what do you want me to do? You know, and it's very interesting because Jesus very often will ask that question, isn't it? What do you want? And I had concluded she must have been pregnant. That's what I thought. And I thought, God, don't catch them now. Well, I don't come. You know, so I said, what do you want me to do? So now that he has explained what it was, I first repented of what I was thinking before, you know. And I said, what do you want me to do? And I've asked that question several times over the years. Again, you meet people at the point of their faith. Sometimes people say, you know, give me a prescription, gladly. Tell me what to do, gladly. And I asked this man, what do you want? And he says, I want you to come and pray for her. I said, okay, I'm coming. So I stepped back, repented of my evil thoughts, you know. And then I went there, you know, knocked the door, got inside, and laid my hands upon her. Because again, like Copeland says, or a robot taught him, you don't lay your hands until you're ready to release your faith. So I don't just jump immediately to go there and go and lay my hands. I went back, repented, cleared my mind, and stirred my faith. I was ready to release my faith. So I went there, I laid my hands upon her, I prayed and I commanded the pain to stop, and I turned and I walked away. And I told him, don't worry, she'll sleep and she'll be okay. I went away, and true to that, within minutes, the place was quiet and she slept off. And that was the end of the issue. My point is, those are crumbs. Are you with me? Those are crumbs. If God would do that for her, how much more you and I? Are you still there? If God will heal her like that, why not me? Why in the world should I doubt that I will get sick? You know what, in the height of the COVID and people were, I would say very often to people then that the challenge we had were two pandemics at the same time. One was a pandemic of a virus, the other one was a pandemic of fear. And I said to believers, what is your fear? Okay, what's the worst that can happen? Say, I don't want to get COVID. I said, so if you get it, you get healed. Do you get what I'm saying? You get healed. And I had one or two people who called me and I've been diagnosed with COVID. I said, first and foremost, get rid of that fear of death. You shall not die. You must get rid of that fear. Just perish it from your mind, because that is what will get rid of you if you don't get rid of it. I said, why? Because we have the loaf in our hands plus the knife, the bread knife with which to devour. The loaf at will with no restrictions. So no matter what it is, no matter what the diagnosis is, no matter what you are faced with, first tell yourself, I have the right to the loaf of bread, and yet see what the crumbs can do. Are you there? Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah 53. Because basically the woman was talking about the fact that she had no covenant with God. That's what Jesus referred to. And the woman said, despite that. Despite that. So what is that covenant? And what does that covenant entail? That's what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading in Acts chapter 8. When he was reading about Jesus and what he did. And reading about the fact that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And then he asked Philip, he said, of whom does the prophet speak? And then he explained to him, he said, beginning from that scripture, which was Isaiah 53, he preached Christ unto him. So basically Christ was the initiator of this new covenant. And in Isaiah 53 was where Philip first declared that gospel and showed him, this is what it is. This is that new covenant that God hatched. This was the lamb that was sacrificed. This was the blood that was shed in order to get us that new covenant. Hallelujah. And so Isaiah 53 verse 1 begins. It says, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I always like to say it this way, that it's the person who has believed the report that will get to see the arm of the Lord revealed. Did you hear what I said? It is the person who believes the report. So you must see the report, but beyond that, you must believe the report. Paul was writing Romans chapter 1 verse 16. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. To them that believe. It is the power of God that achieves salvation. The word salvation there goes beyond the salvation of our souls. He was talking about it, that what they translate in the Greek is a big word that encompasses deliverance, encompasses financial prosperity, encompasses deliverance from demons, encompasses all of those things. And he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even me, I will write the same. I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. Hear me, young people. You know, you are at that stage where you feel that you need to have some swag. I mean, you need to have some swag. And you are at that stage where you'll have friends and things who will make fun of you. Maybe some of you, even the older ones, still have that. You know, who make fun of you because you carry Bible, because you are always going to church, because you are always this. Listen, the reason why I am not, you should not be either, ashamed of the gospel of Christ is because it is the power of God that brings me salvation. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's the power of God that brings me deliverance. It's the power of God that gives me escapes from death. The psalmist said, unto the Lord our God belong escapes from death. So the reason why I'm preserved, the reason why the things that happen for me, and the reason why some things don't happen to me is because of the gospel of salvation. So I'm not ashamed of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Okay, maybe tonight is not the night, but I've had health challenges. But the reason why I'm still here, the reason why I didn't die years ago, are you hearing what I'm saying? The reason why I'm still preserved, I'm still going strong, the reason why I've gone from one to the other overcoming them is because of the gospel of salvation. So I'm not ashamed of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he said it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. You'll have to believe that this is not just a fable. Okay? As a matter of fact, you'll have to believe that the Bible is not a book about God, but the Bible is a book by God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Did you hear me? You'll have to believe that it's not a book about God, but it's a book written by God himself, meaning that what is contained in here is hot, is special, is powerful. Because Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 tells us the word of God is living and powerful. So you'll have to believe that this is the word of God. And so when you are reading it, it's not just a story about somebody went on the cross. No, it's not just a nice story. It is what God spoke. And he spoke it for a reason. Isaiah 55 says that every word, God declares there, he said, every word that I send it for a purpose, and it cannot return to me void. It can't return to me without achieving the purpose for which it was sent. Hallelujah. You know, in fact, he was describing it. He said it's like the rain or the dew that comes from the sky and falls to the ground and wets the ground. If you did science, have you? You know that it evaporates again. Eh? But it came down to wet the ground. He said, just like that, so is my word. He said it cannot come out without fulfilling the purpose for which it came. It can't return to me void. So you know the way I explained that? I said to people, the day it begins to rain, and you see the water falling from the sky, then it comes down like this, then it reaches the top of your head like this, and it returns. I said, be afraid. Know that God's word might not work. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Know that it might not work anymore. But if it comes and it wets the ground, it says, so is my word. There is no way you can find it in God's word that it will not happen. Whatever you find in God's word is a done deal. Are you with me? Remember what we started from in Deuteronomy 32? It says, set your heart on these words, all these words, for it is not a futile thing, it is your life. This is your life. Isaiah 53, I continue. It says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. So this was all prophecy. Isaiah was looking ahead into the future. God was showing him Jesus, and he was describing what he saw. He said, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, can I hear you say surely? Hallelujah. So Isaiah looked at it, and when he saw all of that vision, he said, surely. What I saw, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. I'll stop there. But those words, griefs and sorrows, in the actual original Hebrew, meant sickness and disease. And if you have an old King James, you'll find little letters there beside those two words, and you'll find the footnote that says sickness and disease. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our diseases. Surely he took them to the cross. Are you with me? Isaiah described everything. Then when he got to that point, he said, surely, from what I saw, surely he bore our sickness. He bore our disease. He took it all away. And you know the way they translate the King James? In those days, you put together a group of people who are known experts in the language, Greek and Hebrew. And that's how that's translated. Some of the translations we have, or what do you call them now? Not some of the paraphrased editions we have now are actually written by one man. You know, like the Passion Translation, like the Message Translation, and all that. They are written by one person translating. Okay, but what they did was take the experts in the language, put them all together and say, begin to translate this thing from Greek and Hebrew into English. That's why it is still reputed that the King James is the most accurate to date. Because they will have to agree. They have to sit and agree that, yes, this is truly what it meant. But when they got to Isaiah chapter 53, they looked at it, they discussed it, and they said, yes, the word griefs there is actually the word disease. The word sorrow, I mean, it's actually the word sickness. I mean, the word sorrow is actually the word disease. But they didn't put it there. They said, if we write it, people will believe it like that. Especially these fanatics. Like said, man. They would believe it like that. So they argued it amongst themselves. They said, but does it say that? He said, yeah, that's what it says. So they said, no, we will write, he carried our griefs. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. And we will just put that as a footnote. Because they didn't think he would read the footnote. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And in fact, one or two of them resigned after that and said, if we will not write what is there, because that is the agreement, that what we see is what we put down, they resign. Because even when the prophet saw it, the prophet Isaiah saw it, it moved him. When he saw the vision and he saw everything, when he got to that point, he said, ah, surely, oh, he has borne our sickness and carried our disease. That is the loaf. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That is the loaf. There's nothing that can be happening around you. That's why the psalmist could say, 1,000 can fall by my side, 10,000 by my right hand, but it cannot come near me. There's nothing that can come against us that the loaf is not sufficient for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing that comes against us that the loaf is not sufficient for. God has taken care of every single thing. I don't care what your health challenge is. God has taken care of it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't care what you might face tomorrow. God has taken care of it. And since he has taken care of it, always remind yourself that this is what the crumbs did. And if somebody who got the crumbs could have this, this is what I can have. Remember, similar as I prayed and I thought about this, my mind also went to Luke chapter 15. In Luke chapter 15, there were the story of two sons. One departed from the father, ran away, took his inheritance. He said, Baba, you are living too long. Why won't you die? Are you still alive? When are we going to chop life? He said, Baba, give me my own share of inheritance now. And the man gave it to him and he went away. The Bible says he spent it all with riotous living. And then when everything finished, he came back and the father was so excited, he killed the fatted calf and threw a party to welcome him back home. Of course, Jesus was telling the story to illustrate the father, or our Father God, and his children. And he was talking about how merciful God is, that even when people have departed from God, but they return to God, God is excited to receive them back. Can I have an amen? God is happy to have them back, whether they've never been saved before or they are backsliding people who return to him. There is rejoicing in heaven. Actually, the Luke chapter 15, I call it the lost chapter of the Bible, because it talks about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. And it talks about the fact that every time that which was lost is found, there's rejoicing in heaven. Are you there? But the key that relates to this is that when the father welcomed back this younger brother and threw a party for him that he returned home, the Bible says the older brother was very upset. And he challenged the father. The father came out to see him and said, why are you so sad? He said, because I have been with you since, and you have not killed any cow for me. You have not thrown any party for me. But what the father said was very instructive. Luke chapter 15, verse 31. The father said, you have been with me all this while, and all that I have is yours. All I have is yours. What was the father saying? You could have had the fatted calf even before this guy came back. You could have killed it and eaten it and enjoyed it for yourself, just feeling good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then you could have killed the second fatted calf. And then the next fatted calf after that. He said, all I have, you have been with me, and all I have is yours. All God has is ours. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All he has. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I think verse 21, says that, look, all is yours. Whether life, whether death, it's yours. It's a choice to make. Paul was writing to the Philippians. He said, I don't even know whether to die or to live. He said, but to stay here is better for you. So he was saying, it's my choice. Hallelujah. The loaf is so big. The loaf is so adequate. If the crumbs could do this, the loaf can do much more. Let's stand on our feet.
I have made you too small in my heart. Oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed in the lie that you were unable to help me. But now, oh Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And in my heart and in my soul, be magnified, oh Lord. You are highly exalted, and there is nothing you can do, oh Lord.
Sometimes is that there are things we permit because we think that this is big. Sometimes we permit things because we think that, God has done one or two things for me. If he doesn't do this one, it's okay. Sometimes we are saying, I can manage. It's not too bad. So we hold on to it. But God is saying the loaf. The loaf means that everything is taken care of. Everything. And don't ever excuse anything, but take your ground about everything and take everything that God has in store for you. Hallelujah. You know, it's not humility for someone to say, well, I've gone in there, I've paid for a complete dress and shoe for you, and then go and pick whichever one you want. Then you go in there and you say, just give me the dress, forget the shoe. What you have done is you wasted the resources. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The person who paid for it has paid and gone. He has only told you, go and get it. So you'll be doing wrong, actually, by not taking it. So I don't know, it's our School of Miracles. I don't know if there are people who need prayer tonight. I'm happy to minister by the laying on of hands. If you need prayer for whatever it might be, I'm happy to lay hands on you tonight. And we trust God for the miraculous. We trust God for the miraculous as usual. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can sense His glory. It's getting stronger and filling the room. Getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Thank you for your glory, Lord. 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 Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lebroso Feledista, Mangle Astor Prate Sofredista Bahande. Legegesto Brando Sofredi. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You know, some years ago, it was the 31st of December of a certain year. I was in Ibadan. I was, you know, tidying up some things around the place. And then my phone rang and somebody called me from church and said, please, will you come and pray for my housemate? I said, what's the problem? She said, we don't know. He just stood up and basically passed out. He said, as far as I know, he died. But we resuscitated. We did everything we knew. But he couldn't go anywhere. He's just here. He's weak. He's on the bed. Will you come and pray? You know. And I said, I'll come. You know. And I just kept praying and went there eventually. Prayed for him. God restored his health supernaturally. And that night, I heard he went to church for the first time in a long time and rededicated his life to God. I'm saying those are crumbs. Those are crumbs. Those are crumbs. The children of God can have much more. Hallelujah. They can have that and much more. They can have that and much more. Legedoshta brano sofredishta bahane. Yeah. Coming all over you. Is there something in specific? Health. Is it health? Okay. Just hold my business. Hold my hand. Father, thank you. Thank you. You know what the needs are. Yeah, that's the glory of God. Come strong. Yeah, that's the mighty hand of God. And I speak a blessing. Legedoshta, brakadosa, bradoshta. That's the mighty hand of God. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome breakthroughs. What will I have? You're running from God. There are too many distractions. Yet God's hand is strong upon you. God's hand is strong upon you. And no matter where you go, His hand won't stop. His mighty hand won't let go of you. Won't let go of you. Won't let go of you. Yeah. He won't let go of you. Sorry, come back. Come back. Labels of Reddish Tabrahane. Father, let your fire burn in him so strong, so strong, so strong that he can't get away from it. 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 Nah, nah, le brakabosh tabrahane. Brahane, Le Brahane, Le Bahata, Le Boro Bokoso Fredi, Second.
Remy. Sorry, come. I just feel like praying with you. Just hold my hands when you're ready. Thank you for your mighty hand. Touch. Yes, Lord, touch. Stop praying and just take it in. Thank you, Lord. Never the same again. New realms of glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let that water, let it flow right through our like waves. Waves of glory. Increase that voltage, Lord. Increase that voltage, Lord. Increase that voltage. Increase that voltage. Increase that voltage. Waves, 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 waves. Increase that voltage. Legadash to Brahmani. Lebro sofredish tabahata. Increase that voltage. Leg legadash to Brahman. Dobrobosho belish tabrahane. Lebro koborobobobobo shekere bahashta. Lebos of Radishta, Bradide, Ketede, Balado, Sotende, Gadaya, Gadala, Gadise, Bradishta. Lebobobobobobo. Moses said to God, he said, show me your glory. Exodus 33. And he said, I will make all of my goodness pass before you. That was the response of God. So the glory of God, when it visits you, when it comes upon you, will bring all of his goodness your way. All of his goodness your way. So expect all of the goodness of God. Expect all of the goodness of God. I hear the Spirit of God say, expect all of the goodness of God. Everything good that can come from God is coming your way, because the glory of God is here and is invading your life from tonight. Invading your life from tonight. Yeah. Please help bless in there. God's hand is strong upon her. Yeah. God is touching her. And that's increasing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory, Lord Jesus. We thank you. Still strong on her. It's getting stronger. Needs in the room, but expect this to be a month of financial miracles. Financial miracles, in abundance. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Lega bahashta, braka bahashta, brahane. Hallelujah. Begin to give him thanks tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Choma, let me pray with you. Smith Wigglesworth would say, Lord, satisfy me with a dissatisfaction that needs to be satisfied over and over and over again. I feel God bringing such a test and a dire hunger for him, birthing it supernaturally on the inside of you. And you will say, like the psalmist said, that as the deer pants for the waters, as the deer pants for the waters, as the deer pants for the waters, so my soul longs for you. Thank you for an encounter with your glory that makes her a God chaser, makes a God chaser out of her, makes a God chaser out of her. Just stop praying and taking it. Stop praying and just taking it. Make it by Hashta Abrahane. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Make a God chaser out of her. Make a God chaser out of her. Legedoshta Abrahane. Sekela Bahashta Abrahane. A God chaser. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just stay with her. God's hand is still on her. Still on her. Still coming on strong. It's coming on stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah, it's getting stronger. It's getting stronger. It's not stopping. It's increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing. Yeah, it's increasing. It's increasing. It's increasing. And it'll be on her even for days. It's increasing. It's increasing. Yagala boshta. Raka boshta brahande. Lege doshta brahasa. Just stop praying and take a deep breath. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Let it come strong and strong and strong and strong and strong and strong. Yeah. That's it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There'll be a strong desire for God. Strong desire for God because there are encounters of his glory. God will make you a God chaser. Yeah, I still feel it strong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Yeah. Like waves of liquid fire. Waves of liquid fire. Waves of liquid fire. Waves of liquid fire. Thank you, Lord. Sakabaya Kaladosa. Rasta, Raso, Fredishta, I feel it strong on my hand. I want to stop, but I feel it strong on my hand. And I want it strong on you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Legedoshta, let your mighty hand be on her. Lepo, Kloposo, Fredishta, Bahata. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lepo, Kloposo, Fredishta, Bahata. Let it be strong on her. Strong like never, ever, ever before.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Please bring out your offering. And let's bless God. Bible says so faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that came from the lips of Christ.